everybody, and welcome back to Growing With The Flow. Thank you for tuning in. Happy Monday the 21st of Jan 2024, if you're listening the day this comes out. And happy new week. I hope you had a nice weekend. I am recording today. Obviously I'm recording today. That's the only possibility. My today is Friday. So I wanted to do a little like recap and a little, obviously, like at the start of every episode, do a little catch up. However, I meant to speak about this last week, and after I finished recording, like, you know, when you just get a random thought in the middle of, like, I'm at the gym or something, and I'm like, shit, I meant to talk about that, and I didn't. And so I'm gonna do it today. Traitors. Ah! Now, it's kind of unideal because I'm recording on a Friday this week. Normally, I record on a Sunday, so my traitors knowledge would be completely up to date. But I believe the next week is the final week, so if I wait, it'll all be over anyway. So yeah, I'm going away this weekend just for one night to Bristol, which I'm really excited about. I love Bristol. I think it's one of my top, I think it could be my third favourite city in the UK. London, Edinburgh, top two. And then I think Bristol would be next in terms of cities because I just think it's so nice. So I'm just going for a little staycation. But yeah, I really wanted to talk about the traitors, and I'm so annoyed that I forgot last week because last week I did record on a Sunday, so it would have been literally perfect. Yes, so as I'm talking, so yeah, just bear in mind that I haven't seen tonight's episode because obviously I'm recording this, it's 10 a.m. right now. Oh my god, if anybody isn't watching it, I know a lot of you guys aren't from the UK. I was actually looking at my stats the other day, I think 19% of you are from the UK, which is quite low really. Maybe you don't have the traitors. I know they have it, like there's an Australian version. I think it originated in Norway or Denmark, I can't remember. I think there's like a show there with a similar concept. But essentially it's kind of like if you ever played Mafia as a child, group of people, some of them are traitors, like the baddies, and then some of them are faithful, and they're trying to like work out who is who, knock people out, and then whoever's left at the end gets the money. If there's any traitors left, they get the money, and if there's no traitors left, then obviously the remaining people, faithfuls, get the money. And I think that's actually like £120,000 up for grads, so it's pretty crazy. And I was obsessed with it last season. I feel like the last season was over a year ago, though. I don't think it was out this time last year. Because I kind of remember watching it in summer or September time. And, oh, thing is with the last season is I hadn't really heard of it, and then someone told me to watch it when it was all already out. So I was able to binge watch it. And this season I've been watching it like, oh my god, I'm so excited. I'm watching it every day, like literally on the day that it comes, like I'm watching it live every day. And it's really nice. I love watching it with my flatmates as well. And oh, it's just so good. It's imagine like the most juiciest, gossipiest, like craziest night of Love Island. It's like that level of excitement and like, oh, but every day. Okay, it's not on every day. It's on 3 days a week. And yeah, I'm just loving it. Paul went out last night. Sorry if that's a spoiler, but you should have watched it by now. Yeah, Paul's out. I hated him. His ego was so big, and the way that as he was leaving, he was like, yeah, I think Harry's like taking some inspiration from me. It's like, no, Harry's just better than you. Like, just forget about it. Thing is with Harry, I feel like, so yesterday was the day that he got Paul out, which is obviously good for him. And he's very like, oh my god, he's kind of like on cloud nine, like he's killed it. I do think he needs to be careful about being cocky though, because, you know, it can get turned back around if people are like, why were you so insistent and why did you have so much evidence, you know? So, oh, it's a bit of a tricky one, definitely a tricky one.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Because I kind of think he could win. Yeah, so weird. But great show. If you've not watched, I recommend. I have way more to say, but I'm just going to leave it that because I feel like a lot of people wouldn't have watched and it's not that interesting if you haven't watched. So just a little show recommendation. This week was my first week of classes, which has been, it was a bit of a rude awakening, I think, because last week was my exams. I actually had an essay, 4,000 word essay due on Monday. And then Monday is also the first day of term, so it literally is just like back-to-back, no break. Kind of a chilled week though. Like, I'm trying to take it chill. Like, for example, today, the fact that I'm recording this and that I'm at home at 10 a.m. is like, oh my god, I feel so guilty and bad because I have a promise to myself, which I fulfilled last term, that I would be there every day from like 10 to 5, 9 to 5 kind of thing. And I was just like, I'm going away this weekend, so I won't be able to record at the weekend. And normally I kind of think I would then just be like, oh, well, I guess I can't do an episode this week because I've had other stuff every evening this week. Like, I had a video one day, I had to like just spend the whole evening editing. I had a doctor's appointment one day, but I did a vlog this week. I did a vlog of one of my days. And I also spoke about like my new courses that I'm doing and just like a little bit of an update in general. And I think that's going up yesterday for you listening, so hopefully you can check that out if you're interested in like what courses I'm doing. I also am happy with the edit on that video. I put more time into it than usual. I think because I don't have as much work this week, I'm trying to like, that was my point from before that I never finished. When I don't have as much work, I kind of feel like I fill the time, or I like do tasks slower, or I just do like extra work, which is obviously ideal and that's what I want. But while I don't have to be doing that, I spent, like, today I'm at home recording the podcast before I go to uni this afternoon. So hopefully that, like, I don't know, balance is okay. But just for 1 week, I thought I could do that. So today's episode, I am coming a little bit nervous and a little bit like, because we are going to be talking about influencers, influencing as a job, and the influencer industry. A huge topic, also a topic that I'm not just connected to, but like a part of, and to not acknowledge that, I don't know, it's hard because I essentially what I want to do is critique completely, but I am a huge, like, it's a huge part of my life and like my income. I wouldn't be doing this master's without the money that I have made from that. I wouldn't be able to, obviously I have YouTube as a job, kind of, you know, it's very chill, but you know what I mean. But I wouldn't be able to not have a job right now, like a regular job, if it wasn't for YouTube and the podcast and, you know, all of that sort of thing. So I don't really want to critique something that I'm so grateful for. And this isn't a critique of I don't know, of individuals at all. I'm not like coming for people because I am people, you know, but I do think there's a lot that needs to be said, and I've started seeing over the past few weeks, actually, just random stuff, like I heard on people talking on a different podcast. I've seen a couple TikToks of people just sharing some opinions, and I don't know, I just feel like people are more like cutthroat, and there's also like a lot of rhetoric around, like, for example, Emma Chamberlain and like her podcast, and like a lot of people saying like she just needs to go to uni and, you know, all of that sort of thing. I think people are being a bit more like open and like candid with these thoughts, and I do have a lot to say on this, and I've written everything down in my notes because throughout this week I was just thinking about it so much, and I just, every time I got a little thought, I put it down. And yeah, that's what I want to talk about today. Hopefully this doesn't come off like, I don't know, I'm a bit worried because I am a part of this but I think that's, if anything, like true in many ways. I have like privileges in other senses as well. And I think if you can't critique the privileges you're a part of, then I don't know, I think that's almost way worse. So yeah, that is what we're going to be discussing today. I also asked for some questions, or not questions, but like your thoughts on the Instagram. So I'll be looking at those later on. And hopefully this can be a good episode. I'm nervous but excited. So yes, let's dive in. I just want to preface by saying I have been doing YouTube and making money. Okay, no, I've been doing YouTube for like 5-6 years, I think. Since 2018. Yeah, 6 years. And I'd say I've been making money for like 4 of them. I started making money in the second year. I think I made like £60 or something. And then in the third year, yeah, that was when I was able to like, yeah, in the third year, that was when I felt like I was able to have a substantial income. I was able to quit the job that I was at. And it was, yeah, that was where it kind of like when the shift happened. That was also when, I think at the start of the third year, that was when I signed with my management, which was a huge change. And before that, I was doing like my own negotiations and emails and all of that, which is a lot more time consuming. And also just, I wasn't very good at it because I was like 19. I didn't really know how much you should be charging for these things. You literally don't know. Like, people are more, in some ways, transparent with those sort of things now. Like, occasionally I'll see a reel that's like, this is how much I charge people for my content and stuff, but I didn't really see any of that in like 2018, so I really had no idea what you should be charging. And there's a lot that goes into it as well. It's not just about followers, it's not just about engagement, it's about like, so like all of the factors and like their cross sections. So it really was like kind of a confusing time. Yeah, I have worked other jobs. I have worked like a 8-to-6 job, not for like a prolonged period, but I have like done that at points. And a lot of my critique is about the 9-to-5 job, or like the long, doesn't necessarily have to be 9-to-5, but like a typical job. And I've not done that full time very much. Like, I have a little bit in some summers of uni, but not really for like long periods. So also keep that in mind. And yeah, I don't know, I hope that this episode doesn't, I don't know, I'm a bit nervous. So my first thing that I want to talk about is how often we compare ourselves to people who post online. And this goes, I guess, for me as someone who posts, and you know, for people who don't. And if your life is majorly different in that you work a typical job where you spend like 8-9 hours a day doing said job at a desk or in a hospital or in a shop, etc., you have so many more constraints than these influencers have. And I think I almost realize this more because I have like kind of experienced this a little bit. Like, when I was on my gap year, at points I wasn't traveling and I was just like at home chilling. And it's crazy seeing the comparison. And like, so you compare yourself to these people online, you're like, okay, for example, they work out 4 times a week, their house always seems really tidy, they seem to have social events like every few days, they read 50 books last year, they're always on such nice walks. And it's so easy to be like, oh, I just need to do that. Like, that would make my life more fulfilling. That would make my life, I would be healthier, I'd be working out more. It would be great if I could meet up with my friends a few times a week. It would be great if I could read that many books or go on my hot girl walk every day. But often you cannot do that. And I think it's so hard because they/me will come on. I don't know. I really do hope that I am more self-aware than this, but, and again, this isn't about everybody. I know so many great people online who, especially my management called 16th, everybody they manage I think is amazing. And this isn't necessarily who I'm calling out. I'm not really calling out individuals, I'm just calling out like it as a whole, because they'll post like, oh, my new resolution is to work out 4 times a week. And I actually saw somebody in a YouTube video recently, which haunts me actually, is saying they were doing like their New Year's resolutions and they said, oh, you know, everybody has the same 24 hours in a day, which I was literally like, hello, Molly May, like, what's happening? Literally, like, is this deja vu? I'm confused. Yeah, they were doing like their resolutions and they were just trying to be motivating, I think, and saying like, everyone has the same 24 hours a day. And also like comparing to, I don't want to, I don't know, this isn't like any hate on them at all, like in any sense, but I just think it was an interesting example. And yeah, they were also saying that they have friends who are also doing their resolutions even though they're not influencers and have like regular jobs, which I think was an important distinction. And I think the point was that, you know, anyone can do this sort of thing. But I think to not recognize how different the lifestyle is insane. So for example, going on your hot girl walk in the UK right now, the sun rises at like 8 a.m. typically. If you are going to work for 9, 8 a.m. is too late for you to do any sort of exercise outside in the daylight, like, because you need to be at work at 9. So typically, you know, especially like where I live, a lot of people commute like 45 minutes to work on a train or something. Like, it's not possible to go on a hot girl walk before that. The sun sets at 4. So if you finish at 5, you again cannot go on a hot girl walk in the daylight. And I think people, I don't know, sometimes post like, oh, like, guys, try and get your walks in. Like, it really helps with your mental health and it's like great. And I agree, but just this like assumption that everybody has access to the daylight like that. And you know, it depends also on so many other things. Like, for example, where I live, I don't really feel that safe once it's dark, like, especially going on a walk. You know, if I'm just walking to the shops or something where I've like, you know, powering through and then I'll be there and then I'll be safe once I'm there, that's fine, or safer, I guess. But I wouldn't necessarily go on like an hour long walk often. That feels like I'm really upping my chances of, you know, being attacked. So I think the constraints that a typical job puts on your life, it's way harder to work out all the time. And I'm a student, so I do get to some extent make my own timetable. Obviously I do have like a timetable, but I can be really flexible with it. But like I was saying, I have made a promise to myself to treat it like a 9-to-5. And obviously there's a huge privilege in having that as a choice rather than the only option. But through that, I found just how difficult it is to consistently work out. Like, if I finish at 6, I'll be at the gym at like 6:30, 6:45. I work out for an hour, that's 7:45. I get home, that's 8:15. Then I make some food, eat some food, that's 9, have a shower, 9:15. And it's 9:15 before I've like done all my to-do list for the day. And that doesn't leave that much time for chilling and like just decompressing from life. And so when people are like, oh yeah, I normally work out like 6 times a week, 7 times a week, it's like, I don't know. And I'm sure also, this is another side note, is that thousands and thousands, probably millions of people who do have typical jobs will do that. But if you want any sense of balance in your life, I don't think that it's that feasible to be reading 100 books a year. Also having fun, like often I'll see people posting like, you know, a lot of social events or like even events that they've been invited to. And I think what's harmful is just this comparison of your life to theirs and this concept of like, oh, well, they seem to have it all. They have, not only do they have a successful job that pays extremely well, but they're also killing it in their fitness goals. They're killing it in their reading goals. They're on their hot girl work. They're also, you know, out with their friends kind of often. And I don't know. I think that people should be able to post whatever they want, and you know, the way it makes you feel. Like, if someone posts a picture of them and it makes you feel bad about yourself, I do think that lies with you. That's not their fault, then. It's not their problem. That's like an internal problem you need to like work on. But it's also difficult because it's such an unrealistic lifestyle to almost everybody. And I think what the weird thing is that it fills so much of your feed. And I know you can curate who you follow, but like TikTok, for example, or Reels, where you're just scrolling through like people you don't know's content, I'd say often that is the content of influencers, because they're the people who, that's their job, that's, you know, that's who are posting the most content. And it feels like a disproportionate amount of your feed to the actual proportion of people who live those lives. So often it feels like everybody is on top of their fitness goals, got a really clean room, and you know, reading all these books. but it is just a small proportion. But it's really difficult to like train your brain to understand that. The next thing that I want to talk about is the idea of like challenge. Now, this is more of a personal topic, I think. I personally find it really difficult to be challenged within this job. And in some senses, you are your own boss, so you make your own challenges, and in that way, you could challenge yourself as much as you wanted. I think I find it easy to challenge myself in terms of like quantity, like I can always be doing more work, but to challenge in terms of like brain power, I don't know. I think sometimes it feels a bit like not that difficult. And I'm not saying it's not a hard job. Okay, no, I am saying that it's not a hard job. Like, it really isn't. And the amount of privilege that comes with it is insane. While I think there are so many amazing people who like honor that privilege and like create really meaningful content that like helps the lives of other people, it's also jarring, I think, just seeing so many people like get to do things that you want to do but you just can't time wise. So yeah, I personally do struggle with it not like feeling like it stretches me. I also think it's quite difficult to like do good. Yes, I always work with brands that I really believe in and that I think are like good companies, and I try to make content that a comfort to people and something that like maybe makes you feel less lonely or like someone to hang out with. Like, that's always my aim, and I do think that that is intrinsically like good. But sometimes, you know, it does feel like your money comes from like marketing essentially. And I saw a comment on, I think maybe Instagram the other day, and it was just saying how it's weird how we have this like parasocial relationship between like regular people and influencers, where you feel really close to them, but their like role in your life is to sort of sell you stuff. It's just odd how that works. Like, you really trust them, and I don't know, it's hard because at the same time, I really do love so many that I follow, or all that I follow. I don't follow anyone that I don't like. But yeah, it's just weird. There has also been this strand of thought on TikTok where influencers will do like a vlog of their day, and they'll say, okay, we're gonna run some errands today, like we're gonna, you know, we're gonna go out and run some errands. And then the errands are like going to Sephora, getting their nails done, doing a like parcel return, going to the gym, doing a food shop. Yes, some of these things are errands, like doing a food shop. However, I think it's hard sometimes to watch somebody, you know, have the like luck of spending their whole day doing those things, when errands for everybody else who has a typical job have to fall outside of those work hours. Like, you can't be like a doctor in a hospital at 10 and then, you know, also at 10 be doing, getting your nails done or like doing your weekly food shop, where an influencer can use this stuff for content. And that's another point that I wanted to talk about, is that you can kind of like double up. So using chores, working out, cooking nice meals, for example, as content, like, you're kind of getting paid to do that. And I know it's like indirectly, but essentially a lot of the content I watch is people just doing their daily life, like cleaning their flat, making their food, going to the gym, getting their nails done, etc., showing their skincare, things in my day that I do. And I think what's weird is that I find that relatable because I do those. Like, I also, I don't get my nails done, but like, I also do food shops, I also go to the gym, I also cook my food, so it feels kind of relatable. But then I think you kind of, there's this disconnect where that is what they've spent the day on. And I know not always, like, I feel like if anything, I know exactly what this job is like because it's my job, and obviously it's different for everyone, but I know there's so many days where people just sat at laptops all day, and a lot of creatives will work themselves to the bone, like, you know, work insane hours and not give themselves breaks. I'm not saying that like that isn't in existence, but a lot of the content I watch is people doing those daily tasks for content. And yes, they're not like, you know, literally getting paid to go to Tesco, but if you post a vlog of like your food shop and then you making a meal, on TikTok and it's sponsored, or I don't actually know how TikTok, can you get paid? I think the Creator Fund, I think you can just get paid for posting on TikTok. Or like if you post that on YouTube, you literally get paid for posting that, like the ads that run on it. And that's like a source of your income. So you kind of get to like do those things and enjoy them rather than it being a rush. Like after you'd finished a long shift, you're like, quickly, let's like nip to the shop, get some food in, like, make my dinner. Like I think you're able to like double things up. And in that sense, again, it portrays like almost an unrealistic lifestyle where extra time is able to go into these things. And I don't know, I think sometimes people will be like, oh, like I'm so relatable, I'm just like, you know, having a day of like pottering around and doing like regular things. But it's like, how regular are these things to be able to do this midweek and spend a substantial amount of time on it? I just think, I don't know. And it's not a critique or like a hate on any of those people. That's specifically what I want to say. But I think my point of this episode is that if consumers of this content are not aware of that, it leads to like harmful comparisons. So just like Molly May said, everybody has the same 24 hours in a day, but if you're an influencer, it's just not the case. Like you really have more hours because you have the entire 24 hours rather than having, you know, 8 or 9, 10 of these hours taken out for work, or 12 hours. I think if you work in like healthcare, shifts are often 12 hours. So it really is just like, and I'm not complaining. I don't know. I have so many thoughts for this episode, but I really don't want it to come across in a way that I don't mean it to. So I'm kind of like disclaiming everything, but I'm hoping that you guys just get the vibe and like the gist of what I'm trying to say, because I don't mean it like in any negative way. I just think it's so interesting. Like it is so interesting how these vlogs have arisen of like just like doing daily tasks and like calling it relatable when that it's just not relatable. So yeah, obviously you get to make your own schedule, but typically influencers, obviously it depends, but like I'd say most content creators that just your like average person, their content surrounds around is around like their daily life. And so at least a few days a week they need to just go out and like live to film it. And again, I know that's not the case for everybody, and there's people who make like incredible like art content, but then I think in a sense then you're an artist who just also has social media. But if your full-time is a, like influencing, I kind of think that a few days a week at least you need to just like go out and live life to like film it. And I know that you're not doing it to film it, but it just creates like so much time for you where you're essentially at work but you're doing essential things. That means that when it, you know, even if you say like I'm going to be an influencer from 9 to 5, when it strikes 5 you've already done all your like a lot of your chores for the day and you can actually enjoy the evening. Whereas the typical person finishes a long day of work and then begins that like second shift of life. And again, this is gendered because, you know, I'm talking a lot about like cooking, cleaning, food shopping, and these roles often like are devalued and it's just assumed that women will do them for no money and whatever. I just wrote an essay on that topic, so I have lots to say, but just lots. I don't know. Another thing that I think you see commonly is like being like full-time travel, and I literally did this, so I can't even, again, I really like want to make it clear this is not a hate on anything or anyone. Like it's just an observation. And yeah, the ability to like full-time travel while for a lot of people still making their same income, obviously you're working as well, but you know, you watch the vlog, even if they are working like a few hours a day, most of the day is fun stuff and like, you know, living life, quote. And I think that's just so interesting and jarring sometimes to compare your life to, especially because being an influencer is paid really well for the amount of hours where you're actually sat like editing, filming specifically. Because for example, if you vlog your day, you're not filming all day, vlogging like little bits and pieces, but you're still, I know you're still technically like kind of working all day, but I don't know. I do think it's different. If you think about that and you think about how much time that takes, and also if you consider all the benefits, like, it really is paid extremely well, especially compared to, like, so many jobs which are so much more essential, so much more, like, high-skilled, and so just, like, undervalued in society. It's almost painful to see how much people are paid and, like, the lifestyles they're able to live, knowing just how, like, shitty a lot of people have it that deserve so much more. And another thing I kind of think is that being an influencer is, like, such a privilege. You get to make your own hours, you get to get paid, like, a decent amount, you get cool opportunities, and it's kind of like, I want that for everybody. It's not that I want to bring influencers down, I just wish everybody got these chances. So yeah, okay, the next thing I want to talk about is sort of comparing, like, lifestyles, and specifically I want to talk about pregnancy. I know this is so random, but I think if you follow anybody who's, like, 30 plus or, like, even 25 plus, often I follow people who, like, will be pregnant and vlog their experience. And I think what's so interesting is seeing how a lot of people get really sick, and which looks shit. I really hope that never happens to me if I have kids.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
I'm sure it will, though. But yeah, I think what you don't see so much is, like, people who have, like, regular jobs and have to just go to work. I know in a lot of countries you can get sick leave and stuff, which is that, again, that is what I want for everybody. I'm not critiquing these people that are able to take time off work because they're sick. Everybody should be entitled to that. But I think it's hard, and again, I'm not pregnant, I don't know, but, like, it's interesting seeing how people are able to, like, I don't know, I just think as an influencer you have those privileges that, again, people are entitled to, and everyone should have that right to stay home from work if they're sick. So many people don't have that, and I wonder what, like, impact it's having on our mental states, just observing people experience those things and knowing that you will never have that, like, that you have to work every day even when you're sick, when you're pregnant, because it's just the way the world, your world works. So yeah, and I also wrote down, like, homes, workouts, cooked meals, and this is part of, like, the time thing I was talking about before, but also just being paid, like, a lot. Your feed is, like, disproportionately filled often with people who are influencers and are paid to, like, have a nice home, I guess, and, like, to work out often. And then it's, like, weird comparing your life to that. Another thing I was thinking about is it a privilege to not have to do anything, like, having such flexibility and, like, choice over your work? Or is that just unfulfilling? Because I think in my personal experience, I've felt both, where it's, like, I'm so lucky. I don't know, because in this, like, capitalist world, obviously, like, it's very hard to break free of the idea that you need to be, like, you know, creating, like, productivity. But I think if you find true happiness in, like, something else, and being an influencer gives you the time to do that, like, that is a privilege. But at the same time, I think, is it that fulfilling? Like, it really depends. But yeah, that was just something else I was thinking about. And then the final point I want to talk about before I head on to Instagram is consumerism. Oh my god, the hauls, the outfit ideas for Christmas parties, and then they have, like, 10 outfit ideas, and it's like, okay, are you keeping all those? Are you returning them? Because I'm pretty sure when you buy from fast fashion, they often just, like, the returns go to landfill, or, like, especially if you keep, like, for example, Christmas outfits, and then you return it 1 month later, like, they're definitely just binning that, like, you know. And then I've also seen, like, Amazon must-haves for your kitchen, Amazon must-haves for your bedside table, etc. And it's like, we don't need all this stuff, but it's someone's job to sell it to you. And on one hand, it's like, okay, maybe you'll find a product that, like, really is, like, life-changing and really helpful, and that's kind of how I hope that most influencers work, where they only recommend things that they feel like they are doing that. But if you have like a million followers, it's very unlikely that every single person is going to find that product life-changing, which is fine. Like, you know, you just want to reach the people who need it. But I think sometimes you kind of get sucked in and you end up thinking, okay, maybe I do need all these things. Or am I not good enough if I don't have these things? But they're not, like, not everything is intended for you to actually buy and have, especially this like shit from Amazon that you like definitely don't need. Yeah. Okay, right, we're going on to Instagram now. I do feel like I've just sort of word vomited at you. I don't really feel, discard this whole episode, everything I've said, please don't even listen. Just like when you turn this episode off, just like literally think about something else. Don't even worry. Okay, so this person says, I think it can inadvertently make you a bit cut off from the real world and not become relatable. I think this is kind of how people feel about Emma Chamberlain, where she's like in her like insane house, like she's, you know, modeling for these insane companies, and you know, it's not relatable at all. And I do agree. I think there is a slight gendered lens here, where often when women are really successful, sometimes this like internalized misogyny will kind of make you feel like that means there's not enough space for you to be successful, and then you kind of become resentful. And I'm sure that there is an element of that, but I do also think just by definition it's not relatable. Okay, a lot of influencers are super out of touch with reality because they've never had real jobs. I do think this goes for people who say influencing is a really hard job. I do think it has like, it can have really bad effects on your mental health, but I've had people like talk about like the hours and like, you know, like, I don't know, just there are a lot of like hard parts of it. But I think if you've had a real regular job, that does give you a perspective, because just the jobs in general are hard, and being an influencer, like every single aspect of it is so lucky. And yeah, I think if people have never had a real job, maybe whoever start to think that being an influencer is a really hard job, when I do think that lacks a bit of perspective. Okay, there's also some other interesting theories. So like, it must feel like it's hard to win. You of course want to grow, but growing takes away your appeal. I think this is kind of the Emma Chamberlain effect, where everybody loves when they follow someone that they think is like amazing, but they're kind of like underground, you know? You're the only person that knows about them. Like, you're really cool because you found them first. And then as soon as they grow, it's like, okay, well, the appeal's kind of gone now. I don't feel special. I don't feel like particularly cool following Emma Chamberlain, because everybody follows Emma Chamberlain. And I think that is hard, as like, you know, shifting your like persona and, yeah, I guess your brand. And I think that feeds into the Emma Chamberlain effect, where it becomes unrelatable because of the level of success that you have. But that isn't innately a bad thing at the same time. This person says, I dislike the term influencer. A lot of people that are deemed influencers are inexperienced, young in the world of work/life. Someone says, I think it's hard for someone to stay authentic for any length of time. I think influencers based around health can be dangerous sometimes. That's true. There is this whole like issue with advice being given that is like not backed up, and not, you know, you're not the person. Just because you have a million followers doesn't mean you should be giving advice on anything that you don't know about. And I think everyone, like, I think a lot of people can be like at fault with that. I think it can be a very unstable job. And then a lot of people talking also about like the longevity of it. Again, I also think that's really interesting. I think that's why a lot of people make their own company or like go into like more traditional media, which is another whole, it's just such an interesting thing. And it's crazy that like 20 years ago, this wasn't a thing. Like, that is crazy to me that it just didn't exist. Okay, I think you learn a lot by being in an office surrounded by people. You are solo a lot if you're an influencer. This is also really interesting, because I think being in an office as well, you see different people more. Like, if you're an influencer, you work probably with your manager, but maybe that's it. And then, you know, you spend your life with your family and your friends. I think sometimes it's important to just like spend time with people who aren't necessarily like who you're sort of like quote meant to be around. Seffy and Wing were talking about this recently, like the value in just hanging out with like someone from a different generation or someone from a different background to you, somebody who you would never really have like crossed paths, but like your job is what, you know, brings that together. And I think there's so much value. I agree with them wholeheartedly that it's really interesting. And almost like that's what makes life feel real to me, is like knowing just how like diverse people's lives are. And I don't mean that in like any specific way, but sometimes you'll hear about, I don't know, like when I was working, like the managers was, you know, getting engaged and like getting married and stuff, and I was like 17 at the time, and I was like, okay, like this is kind of crazy to like hear about this, because to me it's like that stage of life, I didn't know anybody else in that stage of life. I only hung out with people my age and then like people my parents' age. So it's just like interesting to like see other people's perspectives and be reminded of like different stages of life and different like experiences. Somebody says, I hate how inherently capitalist it is and how it promotes overconsumption. Yeah, I mean, I touched on this before, but it's essentially a job in marketing, except you are the brand, or you are like the billboard. It's honestly, it's so odd the whole way it works. And I think sometimes that's what sits a bit weirdly with me. And that's why I always want to have something else, whether it be like my degree or like when I was traveling, I kind of felt like I was like traveling, you know, that was like my other thing that I was doing. I think doing it full time would feel so odd in that sense, but maybe not, who knows. A lot of influencers peak then attempt to stay relevant in weird ways. I kind of get what you mean. It's like Emma Chamberlain, I know I've brought her up before, but like Emma Chamberlain like farting or like burping in her videos, it's like haha relatable, but it's like okay, but you're like burping and you're like probably like £10 million house. So yeah, weird ways for sure. Okay, I find the pay transparency quite bad, especially seeing influencers buying houses when others can't. Yes, it's the amount of money in the industry, and like it's just insane. It is just insanity, like seeing how much money, like seeing people do things, and it's like you kind of like think they're a regular person. They like, you know, do their like little whatever, like going to Tesco in a vlog or whatever it is, you know, just like normal things. And then you like see them buy a house at like 25 and it's like, wait, what? Like, it is crazy. This person says, I love influencers who have other priorities in their life. This is so good. And I really, really agree with this. I was talking to somebody who is an influencer, and I can't remember if they said this to me in real life or like posted this, so I won't say their name in case they said it to me in real life, but they were saying how they always want their content to be about their life rather than their life to be about their content. That's kind of how I feel about when you do your food shopping and like you make your meals, you go to the gym and stuff for content. It's like now your life is just for content. And I know that's what your job, what a job is, it's like spending time working on your job, but I think it kind of becomes maybe a little bit odd when just for you as the person creating the content, like to focus your life solely around like making videos or making this content rather than like having a life and like priorities and like things that you're doing and then just filming it. I don't know, I think it's a blurry line though where it transitions from one to the other. This person also says they need to do something else to actually document, otherwise it becomes empty. That's kind of what I'm getting at, I think. So disheartening to see influencers making hundreds of thousands from ads and partnerships, etc., when healthcare staff, nurses, midwives, doctors, etc., could not even make close to that in a year. Again, it is insane. I do think one last thing I want to talk about is I do have a problem when people are like, this particular person has become unrelatable. I don't like when they do this. I kind of think just unfollow then. Like, I think my whole stance is that the industry and the concept is so odd and there's so many weird things to discuss. Like, I feel like we only touched the surface in this episode. But I don't think that attacking individuals is the right way out of these weirdnesses. I do think people should be held accountable for like mistakes they've made. And I do think people also should be aware of their privileges. But I don't think that like, you know, pinning the whole like industry on certain individuals, I don't really feel like that's fair or kind, like compassionate. I don't think that's something to be doing. Like some people in these responses are like calling people out, and obviously they're not calling them out to them, so like it's fine. But I do think that we need to be careful, because I get another weird aspect of the job is that I think sometimes people can feel like that it's not a real person, and that maybe, you know, because they have a million followers, they don't read their DMs, or like they'll never see your comment. But like often I really do think they do. So I have like heard of people who read all the gossip sites, and you would think they would never ever do that. Like I can think of somebody who I was told always reads the gossip sites, and it shocked me so much because I just don't think that that's what they're like. And I don't know. I think sometimes people think they're like anonymously talking about people, and you're not often. So I do think there's like compassion needed, but at the same time, you know, on the other end, people also need to have compassion about the sort of lifestyle they're portraying. Okay, this person says, I love influencers who don't make me feel stressed, but make me feel inspired within my own life. I do think that the whole industry began through like people who really loved creating and being almost artistic and yeah, just like having a creative flair. And in some senses, I think that that's like faded from the industry in some ways because there's so much money in it. But I think there are still so many amazing people who create content in that way and are really mindful and caring and considerate and use the platform and like the power and the money that they have to make the world a better place. And I'm going to end the episode on that positive note. If you are looking for anyone to follow, I really recommend anyone who is managed by my management, 16th Talent. I feel like they're just so amazing at like picking, not to like toot my own horn, but yeah, the people that they work with, I think, are so kind and considerate. And everyone I've met, that is another thing, everyone I've ever met, I've had nothing but good experiences. So yeah, here is my absolute blabble about the industry of influencing. This was not an episode that was, you know, very well put together or had like a nice storyline or anything, but I feel like I've gotten out some of my thoughts, and hopefully this has given you something to think about, or just, I don't know, hopefully you had an entertainment for 50 minutes. I don't know. Please take everything I've said with a pinch of salt, like a really big pinch, like kind of like a tablespoon of salt. And yeah, I love you all very, very much. Hopefully this episode wasn't too much. I was scared to record it, and having recorded it, I'm even scared to post it, even more scared to post it. So fingers crossed that you like it. And yeah, leave a review if you did, because kind of put myself out on the line here. And have a nice week. I love you very, very much.